It's Sean and Crystal Gail Mandoli. We're pastors of Hopeland Church, and you're listening to the Hopeland Church podcast.
We're really glad that you decided to join us today. Our prayer is that you encounter God and walk in new levels of freedom as a result of listening to this podcast. Enjoy the message today.
What's up, everybody? This is part one, Gifted, Empowered by the Spirit. And we're ready to dive into the Word of God today. Let me pray, and let's do just that. And we're starting a new series today. And so I'm excited to be here with you. Thanks, everybody, for joining in today. If you want the sermon notes, text the word sermon to our number, and you'll get our sermon notes every week. Okay, we'll send you through YouVersion Bible app. We'll send you our sermon notes, which is the scriptures, some points, and then even just some other kind of just notes about the sermon. So that's every week. So if you want those, do that. Or if you're watching here live, you can just scan the QR code on the screen. And so let me pray. And hey, if you're listening to this on a podcast or watching this, please share it. Get the word out. Let people know. If you're getting ministered to by this is ministering to you, share it with somebody today. And so let's pray. Father, we thank you today for your word, and pray you speak to us and give us the truth of your word, God. There's a lot of voices out there. There's a lot of things being said through media, social media, the news, and just this world. There's a lot that is being said. And so I just pray that we would be able just to hear the purity of your word, God, in your heart for us in this moment. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, and all God's people said amen. All right, before we jump in here, just to give you a little kind of context here, in March we talked about redemption, which is basically we talked about the cross, okay, and the benefits of the atonement. And then last month in April we talked about the Holy Spirit, like specifically the Holy Spirit. We called it Pneumatology 101 as a subtitle. And we just talked about the Holy Spirit, God's redemptive plan in sending the Holy Spirit. And then, of course, now we're going to be, and we kind of ended Pneumatology 101 with talking about how the spiritual gifts are the direct result of the Holy Spirit coming. And so now this month, we're going to talk about the spiritual gifts. And so we've titled it Gifted, with a subtitle, Empowered by the Spirit. And so there's multiple references throughout Scripture in different letters concerning the gifts of the Spirit. Today, we're going to focus on the ones mentioned in Ephesians chapter 4. Okay? And so spiritual gifts, if we look at this theologically, and even in light of what we've been preaching the last few couple months and even into this month, spiritual gifts are part of God's redemptive plan. They're part of God's redemptive plan because they are the result of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit coming is part of God's redemptive plan. And so they are truly a benefit of what Christ has done for us on the cross and what God, his redemptive plan for humanity. Spiritual gifts are a part of it. We're going to see that here as we read this. All right, so I'm going to read a pretty large portion of verses right now as we open up. And this is really the basis of today. Okay, so we're just going to read in context. Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to start at verse 1 and we're going to end at verse 16. So I might interject along the way as we're reading, but we're going to really open up with these verses, okay? So let's read. So also, let me also give you a little context of Ephesians, okay? I'm going to read this in a moment, I promise. When we look at Ephesians, we see it in two parts. Ephesians chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter 3 all speaks about everything that God has done for us and who we are in Christ. It speaks of really grace, okay? There's a lot of verses and language in Ephesians chapter 1, 2, and 3 about who we are in him and everything God has done for us. It's really like the gospel, okay? And then once you jump over to chapter 4, and we're going to start in verse 1, you start to see now how are we to live as a result of everything that God has done. So it's kind of like this. If I were to break it down simply, I think we preached on Ephesians last year. And so first three chapters are his story, everything that God has done for us. chapters 4, 5, and 6 is in Christ now, our story. How are we to live? Okay, so it's kind of like grace and works, okay? It's like living out what God has done, okay? So hence, here we go, as we're talking about spiritual gifts, and specifically these in particular, they're kind of the characteristics of them and what they are and how they operate. We're seeing it in the context of opening up this part of Ephesians where it's talking about really growing spiritually, developing and living the life God's called you to live. Okay, so here we go. So that's kind of the context of Ephesians we're jumping into right now. So Ephesians chapter 4 verse 1 reads, I therefore, okay, therefore, what's he saying therefore? Because everything he just said, the last three chapters about God's grace and who we are in Christ and everything that God has done for us. Okay, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy. Here it is. Here it is, okay? Walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, verse 2, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Okay, speaking of in our maturity, all right, it's really focused on God and who he is, okay? And then it jumps down, now we're in verse 7, Ephesians 4, verse 7. Okay, in my Bible, right above this, it has this language, it says spiritual gifts, okay? So here we go, verse 7. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, okay, ascension, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. All right? When he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. So in speaking of God's redemptive plan, specifically as a result of his ascension, that's why they call these gifts we're about to read here in Ephesians 4. Verse 11, they call them, some call them, what you hear a lot is ascension gifts. So it's the result of the ascension, okay? Of Christ being seated at the right hand of the throne of God, sending the Holy Spirit, okay? Hallelujah. All right, he gave gifts to men. Verse 9, Ephesians 4, verse 9. Now this, he ascended. What does it mean? But that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. Speaking of his death and burial. Okay? Verse 10, and he who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. Okay? Hallelujah. Here we go. Giving you context. Ephesians 4:11. As a result of his death, burial, resurrection, and ascension. Okay? And he himself gave some to be apostles, prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and teachers. Okay? Verse 12. Why? What are these spiritual gifts for? For the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man. I'm just going to read all this and then we'll talk about it. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined in it together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Okay, according to this verse, I'm going to give you these points right now, okay? Here we go. The purpose of the ascension gifts. All right? And so we see this. This is part of God's redemptive plan. Okay? This is part of God's redemptive plan. It's really empowering the body of Christ with spiritual gifts given as a result of everything Jesus did and the Holy Spirit coming. And he had gave some to be apostles, prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Okay? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Okay. So the purpose of the ascension gifts. Here it is. I'm just going to give you three. You see it here. It's pretty much in plain language that these gifts, some are given these gifts in a sense. And I'll use maybe a more common term in our society and culture that a lot of people use is it's kind of like when I look at this, I see this language of equipping and edifying and building and perfecting. I see this like, wow, okay. So this is like kind of like to use some language maybe more familiar to us. Apostle, prophet, pastor, evangelist, teacher, it's kind of like God's way of gifting people as part of God's mentorship program for his body, okay, for the church, okay? So that's what I'm talking about here. So we're going to look at this, and I'm going to share three simple things here. But once again, the purpose of the ascension gifts, the purpose of the ascension gifts, and they are to equip people to do ministry. To equip people to do ministry, to equip really the church, the body, okay? But equip people to do ministry, all right? That's what these gifts are for. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, very unique gifts. You see these gifts represented and played out in the book of Acts in some way, throughout the letters. You see this language. And so what is this? We're not trying to kind of just build all of our theology around spiritual gifts. That's not the whole focus of being a Christian, right? But this is here. It's here. It's New Testament. This is a local church. This is a local church that's being written to. And Paul's communicating these particular gifts are given that he himself gave some grace. To operate as such. Why? To equip God's people, to arm them. Okay? So that's what these particular spiritual gifts are. I know some people call them offices, and this is why, is because it's not just speaking of a gift. He's saying that this is actual individuals operating in this thing. And he gave some to be apostles. Right? In the other spiritual gifts, it doesn't say, and I gave some to be servants. It's a gift of serving, right? These are actual individuals that are graced to do this. Gave some. Equip. Number two, to build up the body of believers. That's why it says here, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying. That's what that word means. It's to build up the body of Christ. So God has called and graced and empowered individuals by the Spirit to equip God's people to build up the body of believers that are within their sphere of influence and under their care, if you will. That is what spiritual leadership is. That's what it's for. So equip, and it's to build. That's what it is. All right. Number three, and these are all kind of saying maybe the same thing a different way, but you can see this. It's like this mentorship, spiritual leadership. It's to equip. It's like you see this in Acts, Paul, Timothy, Silas, right? Barnabas. The Bible speaks of in the book of Acts that in certain regions and areas, there were teachers and prophets there. Agabus was a New Testament prophet. So apostles, of course. Paul was talked about ordaining elders, which, you know, and just pastoral oversight in the various cities. You know, Titus was the language used in describing Titus by Paul and to the letter to Corinth. Was he called? He used the same word, sent one apostle to describe him, even being an apostle. Now, he wasn't of the 12, but he was still described as a sent one and an apostle. So these gifts, right? So number three, to mature God's people spiritually. So that's what it is. That's the purpose of these gifts. That's the purpose of spiritual leadership. Okay, now each of these gifts have a unique definition and a unique expression and grace, and they're very specific in what they're described as being and doing in the Bible, but they all are given to equip God's people, okay? All right, and so we're gonna look at these gifts. We're gonna look at them. These are given as a result of the ascension, Holy Spirit coming, giving, he gave some. It's interesting, like, you know, because you see this is what we call post-ascension. And he had apostles before the ascension, right? The 12. But as a result of the ascension, I gave some. So as a result, after, this is part of the birthing of the church that's being spoken of here in Ephesians 4. It's part of the birthing of the church, that spiritual leadership would be within the fabric of church community. Apostle, prophet, pastor, evangelist, teacher. All right? Hallelujah. So here we go. Let's just look at these. We're basically going to go through, and we're going to look at the Greek definition of these words and kind of just look at what we see as far as kind of the strengths of these. And then in this too, we can also see what these particular gifts lack, meaning why the other gifts are necessary and why the hand can't say to the foot, I have no need of you. And so even in our spiritual giftings, there's a strength, but there's also something we lack in our gifting, meaning there's somebody else gifted to do the thing that we are not gifted to do, right? There's somebody else gifted and called to do the very thing that we're not called and gifted to do. That's why we kind of discover what God has called us to do. We do that well. We focus on that. We steward that. We encourage and honor and celebrate others for who they are and how they're wired and how they're gifted. Okay? So here's the Greek word. Let's talk about apostles now. Apostles. It's a Greek word, apostolos, apostello. It means to commission or send forth. It's a sent one. This was not a religious word. Like, you know, in the Jewish community, this was not a word used in, this was not, you know, passed on. Like the shepherd, the pastor, that word, that language was familiar to the Jewish community because of the prophets used that language to describe, you know, God's people shepherding and stuff like that. And so that was very familiar to them. At least it's in the Old Testament, right? But this word apostle is just different and unique in a sense. But it's basically an envoy, a delegate, one commissioned by another to represent him in some way. A sent out by Jesus Christ himself to preach the gospel. So it literally means sent one. It's this delegate, it's this representative, you know, that kind of, you know, and these strengths, you see this in Paul's life and even Jesus. The Bible says he is the apostle and high priest of our profession. You see this kind of thing, like what do this to the apostle, this kind of delegate, if you will, like a delegate of heaven, this grace to be sent forth to pioneer, you know, to this type of gift, like transformation matters, like societal change, there, like or even just transform, you know, just that pioneer, that builder, initiator, mission oriented, you know, you get the idea, right? Like this, you know, and at the heart of this gift, somebody with an apostolic gift is like to strengthen believers, equip and empower, nurture spiritual growth among believers, release them in ministry, you know, and even in Ephesians, in 1 Corinthians 12:28, it says, God has placed these in the church, and he kind of speaks of certain gifts. Some of them are listed here in Ephesians, others are not, but he gives us this breaks down gifts in 1 Corinthians 12:28, he says, first apostle. So you get this idea, the apostle is like this kind of first, let's like almost, I would look at it almost like the tip of the spear. If you will, you see this, like Paul going into hostile regions, establishing churches, just going for it and doing it, empowering others, ordaining others, and kind of moving on, right? This apostolic gift is a result of the ascension and given to the body of Christ. And God has graced those to pioneer works, to open up, in a sense, like on a spiritual level, right? If you just look at Acts, right? Look at Paul's journeys, okay? It's very apostolic, okay? It's like break open territory. Get some, you know, take some ground for the kingdom, right? It's very kind of, you know, and it's just, Paul even described that the signs of an apostle is tribulation and trial. Like there's something about that gift that thrives in trial, that thrives in change, that's just grace to kind of spearhead something. Hallelujah. All right. So that's some strengths, right? Some strengths. And so what are some weaknesses as a result of that? What would you say? What would I say? You know, I just look at the strengths. I'm like, you know what? And sometimes these folks would need to be tempered by the Holy Spirit and by the fruit of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. It's because sometimes this gift, if we look at it, it can be very driven and overbearing and demanding in the flesh. Okay. And I think just knowing our spiritual gifts and where we're gifted, it's so important to understand too, like where these weaknesses could be. Okay. And so what's my point here when it comes to this, the apostles, this apostolic gift? This is the point. The church must strategize and build. Okay, we kind of see this, like Paul said of himself, like, I'm a wise master builder, okay, apostolic. And so the church must strategize and build. All right, so the apostle, that apostolic gift, the church must strategize and build. Let's go to the next one, prophets. All right, we're going to just give the definitions of these and kind of talk about some strengths, potential weaknesses, and kind of based on these gifts given, what must the church do? Okay, so here we go. Prophets, prophetess in the Greek, comes from two words, pro and femi, prophemi. So pro, beforehand, femi means elevating or asserting one idea over another. Or really, prophets speak forth what they hear from God, and that word is then elevated above every other voice. Okay, so one who speaks forth by the inspiration of God to foretell or tell forth under divine inspiration. One makes effective contrasts which illuminate. So it's kind of like, man, when that word comes forth, man, it just separates. This is what the enemy's doing, but this is what God is saying. This is how you're feeling. This is what's going on. This is the reality, but this is the truth. So it illuminates, brings light, okay? Literally, in the language here, the definition, it means to speak forth under divine inspiration and to bring about or produce an epiphany, like an aha moment. That is what the word of God does. So what are the strengths of prophets? What's a strength? What matters to the prophet? If building and strategy, transformation in a given area matters to the apostle, then for a prophet, the spirit realm matters. Okay? Spiritual activity matters, Paul told the church in Corinth. Concerning spiritual things, I do not want you to be ignorant. So that prophetic gift, the prophet, that's what it's the value system is the spirit realm. And hearing the voice of God speaking forth what God is saying. Okay, so there's a strength. And so what are we saying in regards to the church with respect to this gift is the church must move with God. The church must move with God. It just isn't about what we plan and how we practically and even strategically come up with things. There are going to be times where because God speaks prophetically and moves prophetically, we must move with God. Hallelujah. So what is the potential weakness of this? At times, because prophetic people, prophets, can be so endeared to spiritual activity, if they're not careful, a potential weakness is that they can disconnect from people. Can I get an amen? Okay? They disconnect from the reality of relationship with people. Because sometimes if they're not careful, they can be so caught up in the spirit realm, it can be a weakness. It can be. Okay? Come on, somebody say amen. We need to know our strengths and be aware of our weaknesses, even in our giftings, and where we don't see it all. You know, even in the Bible even says, you know, we prophesy in part, we see in part. Okay? So we need each other to help us stay within the boundaries that God has designed. Can I get an amen? So it's not about the gift. It's about Christ. And with our gifts comes extremes. And with our gifts comes potential for, getting off course. Okay? Can I get amen? All right, here we go. Next one. Evangelist. Here it is. It's the Greek word eugalizo. It's the derivative of this is eulogy, which means to speak well of. So evangelist is, by definition, one who heralds the good news, one who announces the good news, okay? A proclaimer of the good news. I think most people are very familiar with this language, evangelist, you know, but it's, and so what is a strength or what matters to the evangelist? The lost matter. The people that aren't in church matter. The people that don't know who Jesus is, they matter. They're always driven to the lost, drawn to the unsaved. And so we need this heart. Paul told Timothy, now do the work of an evangelist. Okay? So what is a weakness of this at times we could see with an evangelistic gift is that if going unchecked, can these people become indifferent to the church, indifferent to church community, and what is happening within the house of God can kind of be indifferent in the flesh or in a weakness, and so we need to have our heart for the lost, but also understand that God's heart is for his people too. Amen. All right. And so what are we saying? What does the church need? The church must reach the lost. All right. The church must reach the lost. Next up, pastor. Pastor. Greek word poimen. It means shepherd. Someone who the Lord raises up to care for the total well-being of his flock. It means to be a feeder, one who feeds, a protector, and a ruler of a flock, okay? A leader of a flock of people. That's literally what poimen means. What are the strengths? God's people matter. The love of God for people right where they are. It's a pastor. Community matters. It's all about community, getting the people together, families, and marriages and children and, you know, the whole family. That all matters. All of us we need to be loved by a pastor, man, having that pastoral heart, all right? What I've seen at times, a weakness of this gift is if not careful, if this person, you know, just doesn't develop a strong spiritual life, you know, they can get really in their emotions in even caring for people, and they can absorb people's issues, and they become burdened and in an unhealthy way by other people's stuff and just down and, oh, they're just not getting it. Oh, they went back out and did that again. They're not in church, and it can be unhealthy. It can create. Then they can put them in an unhealthy mental and emotional state. All right? So, but what are we saying? What is the church? The church must care for God's people. God's people. Here's the last gift. The last gift, but with pastor, right? The pastor. The church must care for God's people. Here's the next one, teacher. It's a Greek word, didaskalos, didasko. To teach in the Greek, it means to be didactic. So a teacher, an instructor, acknowledged for their mastery in their field of learning in scripture, a Bible teacher competent in theology. Okay? So there it is. What's the strength? What's the strength of a pastor? That gift. What matters to the pastor? Or sorry, not the pastor, the teacher. What matters to the teacher? The word matters. Theology matters. Sound doctrine matters to the teacher. You know, teachers, they have this internal, I have a teaching gift, okay? So I know this, like there's this internal thing. If somebody's preaching, teaching, whatever, if I'm listening to something, a podcast, whatever, in me, there's this meter and it goes, is that in the Bible, right? Like, where is that? Is that in the scripture? Okay, so the word matters. Truth, the truth of scripture matters. And I think even more importantly, like, having a healthy viewpoint of scripture and, you know, reading it soundly and bringing an understanding that isn't just kind of picking out a verse and creating some theology around one verse. It's like, no, let's understand what is going on here. Let's look at it from a healthy perspective that is grounded in who Christ is in God's redemptive story. Amen. Okay, so, but what's a weakness of the teacher? It's lack of compassion and empathy at times because they're so like, hey, just do this, do what it says. Follow the prescription, right? And you'll be okay. Follow, you know, and with that too, I think even spiritually, sometimes teachers, if not careful, they can become rigid. So structured, line upon line, precept upon precept, so rigid and structured that you know what I mean? That it can be hard if a teacher isn't mature and growing spiritually, you know, personally, that you can become rigid and not move with God and in the creative flow of the Spirit of God at times, all right? But here's the big idea today. God has wired us all uniquely. God has wired us all uniquely, all right? So here's the question, like, what does all this lead to? Like, where does this take us when we hear about these different gifts and all this? Where does it take us? Where does it bring us? What is this about? Okay, so let's check this out. I got a couple more scriptures here. I'm gonna show one more thing. So let's go. So quickly, what does all this lead to? Here we go. I'm gonna give you three thoughts here. Let's encourage others in their giftings. How about that? Amen. Now, I know this is very specific. We're just talking about these five here, just noted in Ephesians 4. But I think this idea of gifts and different parts of the body, the hand can't save the foot, I have no need of you. You can read all of that in 1 Corinthians 12. In another portion of scripture where they're talking about spiritual, where Paul's speaking to the Corinthian church about spiritual gifts. He's talking about the body. So I think when you talk about spiritual gifts, there's this thing we get to where it's like, let's not be so enamored and caught up in spiritual gifts that we can just lose sight of, hey, let's just live for Jesus, right? Let's just strive to be like him and represent him well. But spiritual gifts are very prevalent and flowing and active in the New Testament church. Okay? So it's a part. So this is a teaching about this because this is part of being a Christian. Okay? But what does this lead to? What's the big picture? Let's just encourage others in their giftings, right? Here's another one. Let's celebrate the diversity of God's creation. I think that's what this tells us, is that there's diversity in the body. There's unity in the diversity of the giftings and how we're wired. And let's receive from the Christ in each other. Okay, that's the third thought. Like, where does this lead us? Let's receive from the Christ in each other. So really what we're talking about here, guys, this is about honor. Really just honoring your brother and sister and where they are and how they're wired and gifted. And let's encourage them in their giftings. Okay? So here we go. What's the point? And I'm gonna share a point quickly, just a couple more minutes here. I'm gonna share a point, kind of encapsulates this thought of honor and just knowing that everybody in the body is gifted in some way. And we're all on a journey to discover and to operate and to walk in those. Amen? But here it is. Here's my point. This is what we need. This is how we need to carry ourselves in the body of Christ. You can be you, around me. All right? You can be you around me. You know what I mean? If you're maybe just a strong teacher and you're real formulated in your thoughts and you know what I'm saying, you know what you believe, you got the doctrine down, you got the theology down, you know what I'm saying? And then you got a friend that's just more prophetic and it's just different. It's not right or wrong. It's not good and bad. It's just different. And we all have strengths and potential pitfalls. So that's why we need each other. So, man, you can be you around me. All right? Can I get an amen, somebody? All right, here we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 25 and 26. This verse is in the context of talking about spiritual gifts. Okay? So here we go. Look at this. That there should be no schism or division in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. There you go. Different giftings, different operations of the Spirit, but the same Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. And we just read here the oneness of God. So it's interesting when the Apostle Paul is writing about gifts, he also, in the context of speaking of the diversity of gifts within people, he in there also speaks of the oneness of who God is, like one faith, one God, one Lord, one baptism. And then he starts talking about the diversity. Why? Because we must be reminded that it's not about our gifts. It's about Christ and that he gives us this diversity of gifts so we can fulfill the mission God has given us. All right, one more verse and I'm going to pray. This says it all right here. You could be you around me. Okay, so Romans chapter 12, verse 10. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, right? Giving preference to one another. Another verse, Romans 12. It speaks of, in this verse, in the context of even verse 10, it speaks of a grouping of spiritual gifts. And it speaks of honor and being affectionate, kind of brotherly love, and honor, giving preference to one another. Amen? All right, I hope this encouraged you today. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you for your word. I pray that you would stir up the gifts inside of your people. God, stir them up. I pray they'd be activated, released, and they'd walk in them. And I pray that we would learn to celebrate and honor the other giftings that aren't like us in the body. That we would celebrate and encourage who others are, that others can be themselves around us. And Lord, I pray that we have ourselves a community where we can be ourselves. We can be who we are around your people. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Sean and Crystal Gale again. We hope you enjoyed the message, and our prayer is that you will change your world as a result of what you heard today.
And you know, if you're ever in the LA area, please join us for one of our weekend gatherings and check us out on our website at hopeandla.com.
Peace.